and Kropotkin writing around 1888. Also, another heads up to power, though he wrote for us, most usefully, quote, "The fact is so well felt, if not understood, that the race for colonies has become the distinctive feature of the last 20 years. Each nation will have her colonies, but colonies will not help. There is not a second India in the world, and the old conditions will be repeated no more. Nay, some of the British colonies already threaten to become serious competitors with their mother country. Others, like Australia, will not fail to follow the same lines. As to the yet neutral markets, China will never be a serious customer to Europe. She can produce much cheaper at home. And when she begins to feel a need for goods of European patterns, she'll reproduce them herself. Woe to Europe if on the day that the steam engine invades China, she is still relying on foreign customers." Speaking of Europe, progress must be looked for in another direction. It is in producing for home use. The customers for the Lancashire cottons and the Sheffield cutlery, the Lyon silks, and the Hungarian flour mills are not in India nor in Africa. The true consumers of the produce of our factories must be our own populations, and they can be that once we organize our economical lives so that they might issue from their present destitution. And of course, my comment, the reason for business and modern welfare, once class became totalitarian with the establishment of the bureaucratic global state, the interstate system. Warfare and business was never about progress, but to subdue us. Continuing, instead of worrying our brains by schemes for getting customers abroad, it would be better to try to answer the following questions. Why the British worker, whose industrial capacities are so highly praised in political speeches? Why the Scotch crofter and the Irish peasant, whose obstinate labors in creating new productive soil out of peat bogs are occasionally so much spoken of, are no customers to the Lancashire weavers, the Sheffield cutlers, and the Northumbrian and Welsh pitmen? And my comment, strange to say, some of the power guys have embraced a version of Kropotkin's message themselves in an effort to forestall our embrace of Kropotkin and our own freedom. They've embraced a version of it tied to a posture of patriotism. With all the heads up they've been given, with all their tied up minions analyzing data, crunching the numbers that mean our grandmother Earth is suffering, there's no way they've been asleep to the implications of a grandmother Earth calling to accounts impending, or to our own, we the people's, growing consciousness that we have the means and enough of the truth of our inherent freedom for us to now say to them, see ya, don't need ya. Continuing with Kropotkin, why the Lyon weavers not only do not wear silks, but sometimes have no food in their attics? Why the Russian peasants sell their corn and for 4, 6, and sometimes 8 months every year are compelled to mix bark and auroch grass to a handful of flour for baking their bread? Why famines are so common amidst the growers of wheat and rice in India? Under the present conditions of division into capitalists and laborers, into property holders and masses living on uncertain wages, the spreading of industries over new fields is accompanied by the very same horrible facts of pitiless oppression, massacre of children, pauperism, and insecurity of life. The capital and labor problem is thus universalized. But at the same time, it's also simplified. To return to a state of affairs where corn is grown and manufactured goods are fabricated for the use of those very people who grow and produce them, such will be, no doubt, the problem to be solved during the next coming years of European history, and my comment, of course, now, world history. Each region will become its own producer and its own consumer of manufactured goods. But that unavoidably implies that at the same time, it will be its own producer and consumer of agricultural produce. And that is precisely what I am going to discuss next. And that's Peter Kropotkin's The End of Chapter 1, The Decentralization of Industries, from his book, Fields, Factories, and Workshops, tomorrow.